The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
All right, we got some sports and stuff to talk about, and we're going to have two more Rock the Mic finalists today. Let's do this. It's a Friday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Wingstop on Beechnut and Hillcroft for Rock the Mic 2016. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for a Friday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, A.J. Hoffman, the role model, Zhong Li, the master, back in studio keeping us on air, and he whose name we shall not speak is out here keeping us on air at Wingstop for round three of the qualifying for Rock the Mic. If you want to get in today, 713-780-3776 is the number. Probably won't take any calls, though, so your best bet is to text to that number or hit us up on Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real. At Jong Snow with a zero, not an O. At Degenerates 975. And, of course, that text line number you already know. So it's a Friday. Let's have some fun today. And we're out here at the Wingstop on Beechnut right near Hillcroft, not too far from Meyerland. So if you want to qualify, all you have to do is come out, go over to the promo table, tell them you want to try out for Rock the Mic. They'll sign you up and then give you your opportunity. Two people are guaranteed to advance from here. So you know, you might be one of the two.
You could be.
What's going on, Mr. Hoffman?
It's been one of those days, Fred.
Yeah?
It's been one of those days. You'll note that I got here right at 4.
Yes.
And as you know, I like to be early.
Yeah, especially on a road show. Yeah, you want to make sure you get set up with the internet and everything else.
Exactly. So, you know, so my wife and her cousin went to Galveston today, and she asked if she could take my truck. You know, want to take a cooler and things like that. It's easier to take my truck than her car for that. So I said, sure. I'm a loving husband. Go right ahead. So I'm driving her car today. Sure enough, flat tire.
Oh, geez.
And apparently I ran over a nail at some point. And apparently I ran over a nail in the way that you can't fix it, you have to replace it.
Oh, boy.
And even though I have the road hazard warranty from NTB, it was like the one of the two tires that are worn deep enough that there's, oh, we can't fix that.
Yeah,
so warranty, it's all racket.
Warranties are such a crock of you-know-what.
Yeah, so that's like $320. So that'll be that's a fun day for me.
For one tire?
For one tire.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
What, is this gold inlaid or what?
Oh, Fred, you say that now. Wait till you have to replace one on that Camaro.
I know.
And trust me, I'll gladly pay $320 to fix my wife's tire, because if it were one of mine on my truck,
oh yeah, you're
it's
paying
$550.
Right.
I mean, it's ridiculous. So, I mean, it's not great, but it could be worse. That's the way I'm trying to look at it. I spent this morning I'm going to a place called Biotechnic, which is like it's a sort of a fancy gym.
Okay.
Or biometric, sorry. And it's in the Woodlands, and they have a regular gym set up, but they also do a bunch of testing, like bone density testing, body fat percentage, things like that. They have an on-site nutritionist. They've got an on-site masseuse. They've got it's a bunch of different stuff. You know.
So you're spending some HBO money, is what you're doing?
Okay. Well, today I had my initial fitness examination, and I was thinking to myself, you know, I work out quite a bit. You know, I'm in the gym doing something
pretty much every day.
Basically every day. And some days I go twice. You know, I run. I do jujitsu. I do kickboxing. I wrestle. I just go and lift weights sometimes. I do a lot of different stuff. Ride my bike.
Right.
So I go through this initial workout that they give me. They basically have you do all these exercises to see what you're capable of. And then they measured my bone density, which apparently I have, like, off-the-chart thick bones.
Interesting.
And I'm basically made of only bones and fat. So, and then I did this, like, the test. Like, you know, you see in the Gatorade commercial where they're on the bike and they have the Bane mask on and a tube attached to it to see what kind of oxygen you're using? I did that. And they seemed satisfied that I was able to, you know, achieve everything they asked me to do. But then they were a little bit shocked because at the end of it, they said, as far as fitness goes, there's extremely fit, fit, average, unfit, and extremely unfit. I'm extremely unfit.
See, I don't buy that.
Well, I am. I'm extremely unfit. The body mass thing, which always tells me I'm obese, still says I'm obese. Because that's just – that thing is – I'll never be obese.
You have to be 170 pounds at your height to
– I have to be under 200 pounds.
Yeah.
And I'm just – I'm not going to weigh under 200 pounds. I'm never going to be in the normal weight range. It's not going to happen. I do that on weigh-in day only, and then it feels like crap. So, and I'm not even doing that anymore. So I've got no reason to be under 200 pounds. But they said, well, normally someone who's extremely unfit wouldn't be able to do all the things that we just asked you to do. And I said, "Well, I guess I'm just the rare exception." And so I've got a lot of work to do. Apparently, is what they're saying.
I think maybe they have a lot of work to do with their science. If you can do all the tests and you're still extremely unfit, I would think
it's all about, like,
how
much oxygen you use and, like, how much oxygen it takes to make the body perform. And apparently, I'm an oxygen hog.
Okay, well, that's just way over my head.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Listen, I'm no scientist either, Fred. I just know what they told me, so I've got some work to do. Which I'm excited to do, of course, and I want to, you know, they asked me my goal weights, they asked me my goal, like, what I wanted to weigh by fight night, what I want my healthy goal weight to be, so I'm in the process, but I'm starting out at the bottom of the barrel.
Not
a good feeling.
Good luck with that.
It's always a bad feeling when you're about to be locked in a cage with a man who wants to hurt you in 5 weeks, and they say, yeah, you're extremely unfit. That's not a good feeling.
They think Roy Nelson would do on those tests.
I don't know. He's clearly obese.
Right.
But I bet he's more fit than I am. I bet he's probably less wasteful with oxygen than I am.
That's why I don't want to mess with any of these scientific people.
You don't need to know about that.
No, I'd rather not know, because that would just make me feel depressed over everything that I've been doing.
Well, that's all right.
Because I won't have accomplished anything.
It did kind of – I'm not going to lie. I sat there and I was like, you got to be kidding me. I'm going to the gym every freaking day, and I'm extremely unfit.
Well, what's the level for someone who never goes to the gym, who just sits around and drinks all day? And...
Apparently, they're also extremely unfit.
Ah.
But, there's like a – if you're less than a certain number – I don't even remember what it was. If you're less than a certain number, you fall into that category. I might be very close to just being regular unfit, but as it stands now, I'm extremely unfit.
I don't even want to know where I would be.
What's weird, I mean, and here's the other thing. This is where I sort of question it. I did all these lifts and squats, and they had me do as many squats as I could do in a minute, and as many push-ups as I could do in a minute, as many, like, hang-down rows, like pull-up things as I could in a minute, and then as many sit-ups as I could in a minute. And I've been doing weights and things like they want to get my one rep max on all these different machines.
Right.
After all that, you know, I'm pretty – that's a – feels like a workout, you know?
Yeah.
Then they take me in there to ride the bike. And so I'm like, well, clearly I'm going to use a little more oxygen now because I've done a bit of a workout. So, I don't know. It's been a bad day for me, Fred. It's been a bad day.
So how'd you get here?
Get me.
Ah, good.
Yeah.
Those guys are,
I'm
totally out on all those other, those Get Me guys are terrific, man.
An old school radio lady brought me. Her name's Casey.
Yeah.
And she knows Barry Warner.
Oh, so we're talking real old school.
Oh, yeah. She's like, she was telling me about doing some job in like the early 60s. And I said, oh, yeah, I don't know anything about that. And she told me about some place from like 1973. And I said, yep, don't know anything about that either.
Weren't born yet.
Yeah, that's all before me. But she did know Barry Warner. I guess they worked on television together.
So it's been during the Eisenhower administration, huh?
I think actually Abe Lincoln.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, I think Abraham Lincoln was the president when she was there.
I think you're exaggerating. I think it was Warren G. Harding.
Maybe so. But she got me here in time, which is all that matters. And she did a good job. And thank you to Get Me for having me out here. Michael, the Get Me guy, said that they had to save the promo staff too.
Again?
Yeah.
Well, it's because they don't have a truck.
Still?
They still don't have a truck. I don't know what's going on with that thing.
What's going on with this?
I'm guessing it's dead.
Well, that's how insurance works. Usually they give you a new one.
Well, you would think by now. When did this happen? 2 months ago?
Yeah.
About that? I think by now we should have a new truck. Thank goodness we have those guys to get them here. Although it's not like they do much. They just kind of sit over there and look at their phones.
All right.
But, you know, what are you going to do? 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. So, we got a lot to get to today, and if you want to take your shot, and if you're one of those guys who missed out the first week, who did really well and just didn't get in, you better come now, because I know there's some pretty good people coming next week too. So you want your opportunity. Two people are guaranteed to get through from here. We've already got four. So.
Well, here's the deal. If, let's say, you find out that this job isn't for you, that Rock the Mic, you're not going to be a radio guy, but you still hate the job you have, good news. My computer career can hook you up.
That's a great plan.
That's right.
That's a great plan.
If you're having a crappy day at the job you hate, maybe you're out working in the sun, you know, you're dying in that heat. Maybe you're just not making enough money. Maybe your dad's making you flip pancakes all day. Let me tell you, mycomputercareer.edu can get you on the right path to a whole new career. How many people do you know who are working in the computer industry? And how many of those guys do you know that aren't able to pay their bills? You don't, because those guys are making dough in IT. Ton of computer jobs out there. IT's consistently ranked as one of the top job industries in the country. And the place to go to get the skills you need, mycomputercareer.edu. There's a huge demand for certified pros. My Computer Career has job placement specialists that will work with you to get you hired. And Houston's one of the hottest computer job markets in the country. There are companies hiring IT guys all over the city. But to get these jobs, you've got to have the skills and certifications. And I know what you're thinking, it's going to take too long to go back to school. It's going to cost too much. Nope, not in My Computer Career. In and out of school in less than a year. Financial aid's available, including the GI Bill. Just go check it out. Go to mycomputercareer.edu. Take the free career evaluation today. It's the first step to changing your life and making more money. Mycomputercareer.edu. Take the free career evaluation. Tell them AJ with ESPN 97.5 sent you.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from Wingstop on Beechnut and Hillcroft for Rock the Mic 2016. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz here at Wingstop on Beechnut, right by Hillcroft. You can't miss it if you're anywhere near the area. If you're not near the area, you need to come out here and do Rock the Mic. So all you have to do is come sign up. You're good to go. And two of you will advance. And it's going to be an interesting competition in a couple of weeks,
yeah,
to say the least. So, you know, if you're one of those guys that always says, oh, I'd be so much better than those guys, well, come prove it.
Yeah.
We're giving you a chance. We want you to prove it.
Now's your time.
Did you watch any of the Olympics last night?
I watched some swimming.
I did, too. I immediately turned it off when the Pixie Gymnastics people came on. But
I had already seen that. And I still, listen, I don't understand it again. I don't claim to be an expert on gymnastics. But I watched the Alley girl and the Simone girl. And I swear I thought the Alley girl was better. And everybody keeps telling me that Simone had harder tricks to do. And I'm an idiot on this stuff. I don't know what's hard and what's
right.
Not. All I notice is, like, when they land, if they do a little bounce, I know they're not supposed to do that. Like,
right.
You want to have less of a hop.
Don't bounce.
And watching that Alley, I was like, she was the best one.
She didn't bounce.
She's bounce free. And not, I mean, Simone, it's not like she was bouncing a lot, but it, to an uneducated eye, I thought that Allie was the best one. And then everyone's like, now all of a sudden, this Simone is, people are saying she's the best gymnast ever.
Yeah.
And I was like, how's that even possible? This is her first Olympics. I mean, when are we? What are you doing here?
Don't ask me. I did see a few minutes of the Russian chick who just glared the whole time. That looked
yeah,
like,
she was salty.
Yeah, I like that. I like that about her. But I have to admit, when Phelps won that gold and just was blowing my way at the end, I got goosebumps, man. That was awesome. That guy is just. I know at some point, 6 years from now, when they figure out how to test for whatever it is he's taking, he's going to get busted.
Oh, come on.
But, man, that guy's amazing.
Yeah, he's good.
And then to come back, 30 minutes later for his heat race.
Yeah.
And start off like crap in that and come back and
oh, yeah, on. I thought he was going to – it looked like he was screwed. He was – I don't know if he was officially last place at the turn.
He was back.
But he was like one of the last two or three. And I was like, oh, what is he doing here? And then he got – not only does he go on to win, but he just like zips past everybody. Even that the Brazilian guy that I guess everybody thought was real hot stuff, he didn't even medal.
Yeah. Yeah.
So good for him. And that the girl, the other Simone, Swimming Simone, I like to call her because I don't remember her last name. So I just go with Swimming Simone.
Isn't she from around here somewhere?
She's from Sugarland.
Okay.
She did the same thing. She was not doing good.
Well, did you notice that both of the girls – because I was watching the Canadian, too, and I may say I might have been the only household in America where I was rooting for both of them, and I was really right. glad to see the dead heat. But they were both way back. She was like – Alexak was like seventh, and I think the other Simone was fifth or sixth.
The two Australian girls, the sisters,
yeah,
they were hammering everybody.
Yeah.
And then, like, the last, I don't know, 15 seconds, 10 seconds, you see them start to fade. And those two chicks go through and get it. But, yeah, that's a that was an impressive comeback for both of them, for Simone and for Michael Phelps.
My one beef with NBC – well, I have a lot of beefs with NBC. I think NBC does about as bad a job on the Olympics as you could possibly do. But for about 15 minutes after that race, if you hadn't seen the graphic, you wouldn't know that they both got gold medals because all they did was focus on her Simone.
And not the Canadian chick.
Which I get because it's America, but at the same time – shouldn't you acknowledge that? Hey, they both get gold medals here,
right?
And they
I
never
thought that
did.
Was strange too. It took them a while to put the other girl's time up.
Yeah, well, when they put the time up, the time was exactly the same.
Yeah.
And the first graphic, if I'm not mistaken, had gold for the U.S. and silver for Canada. So I may be wrong about that, but that's what I thought when I saw it. I'm like, wait a minute, didn't they tie?
Here's the other thing. I guess there was a bunch of people upset because they didn't show her medal ceremony. I'm all for. No showing medal ceremonies.
Yeah.
I don't need that. Like, I watched...
Who's did they not show?
The Swimming Simones.
They did later,
but not when it happened.
Yeah.
And why do you think they did later? Because people threw a fit about it. But I just want to see people race.
Yeah.
I don't need to see... How many times do you need to see someone with their hand over their heart doing the national anthem? What are we doing here? How many times do we really need to see that? I get the picture. I know what happens here. I understand, and I guess like if it's your kid, of course you'd love to see that. But
if it's my kid, I'm going to be there.
Yeah,
I'm going to be watching it on TV. I mean, that would be pretty crappy parent.
But they were like, oh, they were showing Russian gymnastics instead of showing her receive her medal. I'm like, well, so they were showing an actual sport that was happening rather than showing someone getting a medal and listening to the national anthem.
But they weren't. They were showing a recorded sport.
Right. Not only that, though. For that ceremony, I'm guessing, did they play both national anthems?
Yeah, they did.
Who wants to sit through that?
Yeah. Although, I'll give them credit for their national anthem thing.
And the Canadian national anthem, I don't know if it's technically longer or shorter than the U.S.
No, it's shorter. It's shorter.
It feels so long. I mean, maybe because I don't know the words and it's just obnoxious for me to hear it. But
see, I actually like their anthem.
Oh, of course you do.
But you know what? The thing they do, they play those recordings, they're really fast. On all of them, like whatever it's like, it's what it should be. It's like no nonsense.
You just see the meat. You see the performance only.
No, but I'm talking about the anthems. They play
oh,
it really
okay,
fast.
Okay.
Yeah. But now NBC is just they
should play it in fast forward. That's what they should do.
Well, it's close. I guarantee you. But I don't care about. I mean, it's cool for something like that for a girl who you know, was obviously very emotional about it. I think, but
everybody's emotional when they win.
Nah, not really. I've seen some of them just like, eh, okay.
Michael Phelps got like his 22nd or 25th met, whatever it was.
517th.
He's still crying about it. It's like,
yeah,
I mean,
I don't know.
You've been here.
I think the whole, all the backstory stuff and the way they were trying to build up Phelps and Lucky and the racing against each other again, I get sick of that too. It's just, you know what? The guy kind of stands on his own, and you know, let it happen and let us watch.
The other thing I don't need, the intros, like the walkouts, like it's a pro wrestling or an MMA fight now, like where like they put their name on the screen and they walk out and they put their hands in the air.
Yeah,
like,
come on,
who needs that? Just show us once they're lined up and ready to jump in the pool. Show us then.
Apparently, I think it was
the walkout. For
I think
swimmers.
It was CBC confused Lotke and Phelps and had the wrong call. And Jong's got that.
Who did?
But Ryan Lochte is going for it. Pereira is making his run, and Phelps doesn't look like he has this one in him. Ryan Lochte going for his 13th career medal, saving the best for last. Finally, he's going to do it. Ryan Lochte is going to beat Michael Phelps in this event in the games, and Phelps might not even make the podium.
Whoops.
What? Who did that call?
I think it was CBC.
What is CBC?
It's the Canadian broadcasters.
Let me get.
So did they ever come back?
Are you going to defend the Canadians?
No, that's just stupid. Did he ever come back? And how did they deal with it when he figured out how wrong he was?
I think in about 10 seconds after that, I don't have that part, but he goes, "Excuse me, I had the wrong lane." Michael Phelps won.
Oh God, what a knucklehead! And that's like calling the wrong racehorse winning or something, which is unforgivable because people have money on that.
Well, in other Olympic-related news, women's soccer team lost.
Gone, dead.
They're
goodbye.
Out.
They're out. That was an elimination game. Hope Solo says we played a bunch of cowards, talking about the Swedes.
Why would she say that?
I guess because they just dropped back.
She's a salty Sally.
She is salty. I like her. She's a bitter little thing. She's a little bit crazy.
What's the final score on that game?
I don't know. I just got the news alert on my phone that said they lost it. Oh, they lost in a shootout. So
I don't understand what makes them cowards. Anyone who watched that game, I'd love to know what was cowardly about the Swedish performance.
I'm guessing they probably just laid back and played defense the whole time and didn't try to score. But anyway.
Is that a cowardly way to play soccer?
I guess. Although I know Chelsea won the Premier League doing that one year. So hey, all right, let's. We got Aubrey Theodi. Awesome. What's up, Aubrey?
Aubrey, what's going on, buddy?
It's a lot cooler inside NRG than it is outside.
Oh, I bet.
Outside in the heat. And, for some reason it doesn't seem like hunting season yet. You know, it's just sitting. You got to get those first football days in, those cool days when the weather turns.
Right.
And then you start thinking about hunting. But the extravaganza over here is, man, it's packed. It's awesome. They've got everything over here. So I guess we want to send a shout-out and get everybody to come over here and visit Hunter's Extravaganza. It's absolutely packed at NRG.
All right. Are you guys not in the stadium, right? You're in that little the arena thing?
Exactly. We're in the arena, and I would say there's somewhere around probably 1,500 hunting outfitters and vendors and everything from – you know, attachments to your truck to one of the neatest things I saw is you can take your iPhone and clip it to your hunting scope. And the iPhone matches up with the scope and you don't even look through the scope anymore. You kind of just watch your iPhone and it's got the crosshairs there and you can hit record and kind of like use your iPhone for your hunting viewfinder. And I think that's really cool. There's all kinds of little neat stuff for your guns and lighting and night vision equipment. It's really it's a man toy room over here, you know.
All right, what time, how long are you gonna be out there for?
I think y'all are supposed to check in with me again at 6:30.
All right,
so I'll have some other little neat things for you to, you know, to go through with you in the second time we check in. So I say I'll be here probably till 7:30. And Eric and the whole staff over here, really cool. And I think y'all, you know, send tell the listeners to stop by on their way in. You know, you're going to be stuck on 610 loop traffic anyway. Might
That's
as well pull in and check out, you know, get that hunting blood flowing, you know, that cool time of year. That, you know, of course you can hunt hogs and things like that year-round, but deer hunting is when Texans really think of hunting season.
All right, that's Aubrey Theodi. You can check him out down there at NRG Arena, and we'll talk to you again later on in the show, bud.
Okay, guys.
All right, I got to tell you about man's best friend, which, by the way, that iPhone hunting thing, that doesn't seem fair to me. I'm just saying. Like, the deer are already at a disadvantage. They don't have guns.
Yeah, now you could now you got to track them on your iPhone.
The iPhone, that just doesn't seem fair. All right, man's best friend, they are helping you teach your dog to be part of the team. You know, that's the important thing. You don't want to make your dog guess what you want him to do or her to do. Teach them so they'll know what you want. And training your dog is the best way to make them a responsible member of the family. It's the best thing you can do for your dog, really. And the best place to do it, Man's Best Friend. They're open 7 days a week. They've got an air-conditioned facility. They work with young dogs. They work with old dogs. And they are the professional difference in dog training, guys. If you want to board them, you want to train, you want to groom, you can do it there. You can board and train, or they've got private lessons available for training if that's what you prefer. You know, these are the guys to go to. They've got their location. They used to have more locations. They're down to a singular central location now, 2331 Bingle Road in Houston, where they can give all the attention to your dog. The phone number is 713-932-6709. That's 713-932-6709, or check them out at mansbestfriend.com, and our listeners get 20% off if they mention ESPN 97.5. That's Man's Best Friend, mansbestfriend.com.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Wingstop on Beechnut and Hillcroft for Rock the Mic 2016. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. And, of course, our soccer people are letting me know what happened. But 409 said the Swedes were parking the bus, which is soccer, for just sitting back and playing D only. Same thing that people were crapping on the Euro Cup final for, is playing it safe. 27 shots on goal for the U.S., 2 for Sweden.
And what was the final?
I think it was 0-0, and then they went to the shootout.
1-1? 1-1.
Okay.
You know, how about Hope Solo with a 50% save percentage? Not great.
That's a fail.
You kicked the ball at the goalie 27 times and got it in once? Also not great. The other thing, these guys, I'm guessing, I didn't see the odds beforehand, I'm guessing the Swedes were massive underdogs.
Yeah, I'm sure they were.
And so if that's your chance, if that's the way you're going to win, I mean, if that's your only way to win, don't you do that?
I have no problem with that. If you're playing a team that's a lot more skilled than you, it's just like anything else. In football, you're going to try to control the clock and keep their offense off the field. In basketball, you're going to slow the game down as much as you can. You're going to foul. You're going to make it rough on them. You're going to play chippy like the Australians did the other day. Every sport.
If you're a fighter, if you're in MMA, and you're fighting against some great striker who's going to knock your head off, and you take him down and hold him down, that's not bad strategy. Is it boring? Sure, but. So do what you got to do to win in sports. That's kind of the goal.
And especially if you're playing against somebody you know is better than you, you're going to have to try to come up with a strategy to win. I mean, that's what you're there for. You're not you're not there to like, oh, let's play them straight up and go out and try to play to their skill. That's stupid. Nobody does that.
Well, that's
so
a very
quit
odd.
Whining about it, Hope Solo. I hope I love you. I think you're crazy, and I've seen naked pictures of you, but I have to say you're wrong about this. Anyway, 713-780-ESPN is your number.
This was her comments on why they didn't or why they were sweet, why the Swedes were cowards. Sweden dropped off. They didn't want to play. They didn't want to pass the ball. They didn't want to play great soccer. It was a combative game, a physical game, exactly what they wanted and exactly what their game plan was. They dropped into a 50. I don't know what that means. They didn't try and press. They didn't want to open the game, and they tried to counter with long balls. We had that style of play when Pia was our coach. I don't think they're going to make it very far in the tournament. I think it was very cowardly, but they won. They're moving on, and we're going home. Listen.
That's overstating. I mean, the her calling them cowards is overstated because she kind of said, you know, hey, but don't be bitter. Just.
Well, that wasn't. I mean, no, she also called them cowards. I was just telling what she said after that.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, she said.
Never mind then.
She said, I thought we played a courageous game. I thought we had many opportunities on goal. I thought we showed a lot of heart. We came back from a goal down. I'm very proud of this team, but I also think we played a bunch of cowards. The best team did not win today. I strongly believe that. I think you saw American heart. You saw us give everything we had today.
Obviously, you didn't because you lost.
Well, and whatever you think about, I don't think they're going to make it far in the tournament. Well, they made it further than you.
Yep.
Sorry.
And I think they should be asking the bigger question is what the hell was wrong with this team? I mean, they tied Columbia, too. It's not like, you know, they've been the dominant team they've always been. So, anyway. So he says they're not going very far. The next round's the semifinals. They're only one game away from playing for gold.
Yeah, to me, if you don't take ownership for being beaten by a team that out-strategized you and giving them credit where it's due, to me, that's the coward.
Yeah.
You know, maybe they aren't the better team in some ways, but they were the better team today.
Yeah.
And if that was their strategy and you couldn't figure out a way to break it, they were better than you today.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
No, I mean, I don't know what the soccer world's like, but I know in every other sports contest in the world, if you're outmatched, you come up with the best strategy you can utilize it. That's what you do, right?
Yeah.
If I'm playing basketball with some guy who's twice as good as me, I'm going to figure out ways to, you know, try to block him out, try to keep him on the ground, things like that. And not, you know, that's just natural. Is it, you know, I play a little physical, push him around. Is that cowardly? Or is that, hey, I'm overmatched here. I got to do the best I can.
These are the people who think that Floyd Mayweather fights cowardly. Like the way he fights is, and listen, is it boring? Yeah, to me it is. I don't find it exciting, but he's very good at it. And if you're fun, exciting style, if you want somebody who's just going to go out there and swing hands until somebody falls down, go watch a tough man contest. Big time sports have strategies, and you have to
Golovkin fight.
Yeah, you have to solve these guys.
Yeah.
So, I give Sweden some credit if they did some boring ass strategy to get a win over a team that's way better than them. Kudos to them because sometimes you got to do what you got to do.
832 says Swedish coach was the U.S. coach before. They outplayed us, knew our players back and forth.
Well, there you go.
There you go. Absolutely.
Salty.
There's a lot of saltiness going on. Everybody thinks Gabby Douglas is being salty, too. So
why is she being salty? Because she's not the star anymore?
No, yeah, I guess because she wasn't celebrating when the other chicks won and everybody else was.
Okay.
Josh
Sean says Swedes were plus 120.
Oh, that's... That's not that much.
That's not a huge underdog. No. But you know how soccer is. Like, they'll have a plus, and then they'll have a tie.
Right. Although you can't tie.
You couldn't tie anymore?
Not, okay. No.
Well, so. That's they weren't huge underdogs in. But, hell, I don't care. If they won, they won.
Yeah.
Whatever their strategy was.
I'm all for it. Joshua says, what does that say about the coach if they couldn't figure out a new game plan? Well,
right.
Maybe you should be whining about your own coach.
To quit banging your head into the wall and figure something else out.
By the way, did you see that they had to close the diving pool?
No.
Green water. And apparently somebody went in there and said the entire arena smelled like a fart.
I keep seeing this picture. I don't know who that girl is, but she put her tongue in the water,
yeah.
And I'm like, oh.
I hope it's not that hot Russian chick. It doesn't look like her.
Yeah.
So
I mean, it's a cute chick, but now I know, like, she's got Zika mouth.
Yeah. Or poo mouth. One of the two.
Poo mouth. One or the other. I'm not into either. But, I suggest you get out of that water as fast as you can and decontaminate.
Well, apparently, this is an outdoor pool, of course.
Right.
Caused them both to turn green. Officials have maintained there's no risk associated with the color, but they closed the pool on Friday. And, there have been differing explanations. Some say algae is the culprit. Others claim a change in alkalinity accounts for the green, whatever the hell that means. Again, I don't do science.
Yeah, so I mean, you got to, if you have a pool, you've got to keep your pH levels and all that in check.
Don't you think for an Olympic pool?
I would think they'd have somebody who's pretty professional doing it, but.
713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Justin said Sweden scored in overtime and got screwed out of a goal. They should have won 2-1. Wilkie says Soviet Union calls 80 Olympic ice hockey team cowards and extremely unfit.
Oh, boy. I am extremely unfit. I would know.
No, yeah, you are extremely unfit, apparently. Man, talk about fit. How dumb am I that I'm running a 5K in the morning in this heat?
Are you really?
Yes. I might die.
Yeah, that's a big move.
Well, because we starting in September, we pretty much have one every week.
Uh-huh.
So I kind of need to run one to kind of get going again because I haven't really done much running since I got back from Saskatchewan.
Like, a 5K is not that far.
No, it's 3.1 miles. It's doable.
Yeah.
It's about 30. I'll probably be really slow tomorrow. It'll probably be about 34 minutes, but still, yeah. That's it.
I feel like I can
handle heat for 34 minutes.
Yeah, I could just show up and run a 5K. When you run those half marathons, that's when you're dumb.
Yeah.
I don't believe in that. That's too far.
So
no one needs to run that far.
713 says, y'all are being hypocritical. You know you hate seeing Hackershack resulting in a win. No, I think.
No, I don't.
I don't hate it. I think if you want to change the rules, fine, but those are the rules.
That's not true. Do I hate it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it boring and stupid? Yeah. But is it the rules of the game? Yeah. Do I cry when it happens? No.
Do I call them cowards?
No.
So,
no, I say, how about you, instead of crying about it, you teach your big men to shoot free throws.
Well, remember before the shot – well, this, you probably don't remember – before the shot clock in college basketball.
I don't remember those
There times. Were teams that would just hold on to the ball and stay back, and they played a four corners. Dean Smith was famous for it.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's why they put the shot clock in. So, if – you know, that I'm sorry. You guys trying to compare this to other stuff, you're kind of being stupid. So, anyway.
I mean, they played good defense.
Yeah. I mean, they still managed to score a goal.
Exactly. That's
it. And they were better in the shootout.
How is it that you didn't try to score at all, but you still scored a goal?
Did you see what they're giving Rock the Mic contestants over there?
No.
Gold chains with a golden chicken wing.
Interesting.
That is very, interesting is a good word.
Interesting question.
Indeed.
All right, guys. Law enforcement stepping up their efforts with no refusal weekends. They can force you to take a DWI test, a breath, or a blood test. If your weekends suck because of a DWI arrest, don't despair. There's still hope, even if you failed those tests that they gave you. Remember, the tests that they do are the tests that the police do are they're unreliable, they're inaccurate. Police breath test machines aren't even warranted fit for testing on humans. Most states have abandoned the machine because it's just old technology, and failing the test isn't the end of the world. Juries are smart; they're going to figure out the problems with this machine. Same with failing the blood test. It's not like, you know, going to the doctor and getting your blood tested where they test your actual blood. These guys are testing the air above your blood. It's a very circumstantial, very indirect test for alcohol. Attorney Gary Trichter is a DWI specialist, one of only four board-certified DWI specialists in the state, and he's right here in Houston. What that means is he's experienced in telling the truth about these tests, and he's experienced in doing it in a trial situation, a trial setting. Not a lot of lawyers are experienced in trial settings. A lot of lawyers will take DWI cases. Very few have trial experience. Whether it's DWI, DUI, or boating while intoxicated, if you failed those tests, call attorney Gary Trichter. Put his number on your cell phone right now. It's 713-524-1010 or visit TexasDWILaw.com. That's 713-524-1010 for attorney Gary Trichter. In California.
ESPN 97.5. This is a RentersWarehouse.com Roadshow. Live from Wingstop on Beechnut and Hillcroft for Rock the Mic 2016. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. The newest hunting gear will be on display this weekend in the Texas Trophy Hunters Extravaganza at NRG Reliance Center. Aubrey and the ESPN 97.5 Road Crew will be checking out the show today until 6. Well, I thought he said he was calling us back at 6:30.
Yeah, that's what he said.
I guess the Road Crew will only be there until 6.
He said he's going to be there at 6:30.
Okay.
That's all I know.
We're out here at the Wingstop on Beechnut near Hillcroft, and if you are looking to try to qualify for Rock the Mic, we've got some pretty good people come through. But it's probably still wide open. So we'll be here till 7 o'clock. Come on out. Give it a try. Just go.
We've heard some good feedback.
Yes, we have.
We've heard some bad feedback on people.
Indeed.
Some of these guys suck.
So. Oh, well.
It happens. I mean, it makes it easier for us when at least a few of them suck.
Yeah. Yeah. Because that way we don't have to feel so bad when we tell people no. But, yeah, it's funny. Just one last thing on the soccer. I think I've told a story in the year before. We had this really good basketball team one time that we were just crushing everybody. And we played this team that were smaller than us, that were slower than us. We beat them by 42 points the first time we played. The second time we played, they fouled us every single time we got the ball. And they just kept rotating people in and fouling us and fouling us. And we wound up beating them 42-40.
Oh.
And it sucked to play against it. But you know what? If I was them, I would have done the same thing.
Yeah.
Because it made a 40-point difference in the game. And, of course, we had a big brawl afterwards, and we beat the crap out of them. But it was it was still a good strategy.
Well, I told you when my kid's baseball team, when we beat that team by like 14 runs, and then they were like changing catchers in the middle of innings to try to run the clock, and they celebrated when they tied us. You remember we talked about that?
Yeah.
The guy called in and he said his kid was on that team. Oh, you weren't here for that. Barry was here.
Oh.
But yeah, these guys were like, literally switching pitchers after every batter, switching catchers in the middle of an inning, which takes a long time to get those kids in and out of gear, just to run the clock. And we tied them, and they celebrated like they won the World Series. Oh, it was awful.
Yeah, but you know what? That's a cool thing about sports. That's why everybody loves upsets. But anyway, 713-780-ESPN if you want to text the show. Try to be a better texter than what we've had so far, though. A lot of good soccer texts, and then a lot of people who just seem to, whatever they want to do, they want to try to say, well, you said this about this, so you're a hypocrite. Get out of here with those blanket statement things, guys. I mean, really. Just if that's your text, don't bother. We don't care. So I do have to give a little credit to Russell Wilson's agent. I mean, Tyrod Taylor's agent yesterday for comparing him to Russell Wilson, because Tyrod Taylor got paid.
Yeah, he
maybe,
did.
Maybe.
Yeah, he got paid for this year for sure.
Yeah, well, he's going to get $9 million this year, it looks like. I'm not – the details aren't out yet.
They are out.
That's not – okay.
He's got an opportunity to – if they – he'll make nine plus this year. He'll make over 27 if they sign him next year. So if he balls out, gets him to the playoffs, he's in good shape. If not – they're probably going to either cut him and start over or just move on.
So it's
kind of like after this season, it's basically a show me deal.
Yeah.
Which I don't mind.
Well, if he has a great year, you can keep him, I think. But if they can also cut him without it being punitive. So really, he just gets some more money for this year. And it kind of gives them a little bit of a guarantee if he turns out to be a good player. Because I want to see him do it for another year, too. I think it's it's silly to pay a guy based on 1 year and
less than a year.
Yeah,
you know, when I saw it, I was like, "Oh, what are you guys doing?" Giving this guy, because when it was announced, it was like a 6-year contract extension, $90 million. And when you hear that, you're like, "What?" But then when you look into it,
yeah, it's like a lot of these contracts. You hear these ridiculous numbers, and the reality is most of them never go to term anyway.
Right.
So, but the last story I saw it didn't have any details on it yet, other than that it was
the Bills have a $10 million buyout after the first year and another out after the second year. So it's if they'll pay him $9 million this year, and then they'll either pay him $27 next year, or they'll pay him $10 million to go away.
Yeah.
So there's worse deals they could have made.
Yeah.
But he was going to get $2 million this year. Now he's going to get $9 million. So he feels a little better about this year.
Right.
It's a fully guaranteed season.
And the Bills aren't in any real trouble if they have to let him go.
Yeah.
So, as Joshua said, long story short, there's no fair in sports. There's only within the rules. Well, within the rules is fair. And, you know, as long as you're staying within the rules, I got no problem with it.
Yeah.
So, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776 if you want to get in. But did you watch any of the exhibition football last night?
No, not really.
I went back and watched some highlights.
I listened
today
to some on my way home. I listened to that guy on the Patriots break his arm.
Yeah, that was pretty ugly.
I heard that. I didn't see it, but I heard it. And they're like, ooh.
Yeah. The only other thing I was really curious about was how Carson Wentz looked. And he was like 12 of 24, but he was throwing to a bunch of guys like us. I mean, they couldn't catch the ball. I mean, he was putting the ball right there and hit a bunch of drops. One bad interception. But other than that, the guys who can play, and the guy, it was almost like we were talking about yesterday, they're all 10 of 13 or 12 of 14 and got out of there without getting hurt. So
good for them.
Yeah, and you know, obviously the Texans this weekend. I mean, obviously you'll be curious about how Osweiler does, but I would just, again, it's not going to mean much.
No.
I mean, it's, if he doesn't go 13 of 15, it's probably a bad sign.
Here's the deal, though. Like, it's a little bit different when you have a guy like Osweiler who, if you have Tom Brady or, you know, Cam Newton or someone like that, Carson Palmer, you know what they're capable of.
Right.
You don't want to see much out of them in the preseason.
No.
They're going to show up ready for work week one.
They're going to get their reps in practice.
That's Brock Osweiler's a guy you'd kind of like to see taking some bullets, right?
Yeah.
Like, you want to see what he looks like under some pressure. You actually want him to feel some game-type situation. This is a guy who – he's got less starts than E.J. Manuel. Or not than E.J. Manuel, than Tyrod Taylor, who just got paid. So – you may see more of Brock Osweiler than, you know, you would see out of most teams' established sure thing number one quarterbacks. Or, you know, they could look at their secondary options at quarterback and say, you know what, just protect yourself.
Yeah.
Especially with the line he'll be playing behind in the preseason.
FYI, came out today that the Big 12 will be talking to 17 schools for their two spots. If they
17?
17, yes.
Do you have a full list?
Yeah. You want to hear
it? We'll do that on the other All side. Right. I mean,
the reality is,
there's going to be at least 10 of these teams that are laughable.
Like, oh,
that
more
are
than
0%
that. More than that. I would say, well, I'll set the over-under at, out of the 17, I'll say 11 of them are jokes.
All right.
But we'll talk about that when we come back. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.